listening to Fox Sports Radio. Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Guys, Saturday night is a big night. The next Heisman Trophy winner will be crowned in college football. And when it's a big event on a Saturday night, we do something on the show called this.
And action!
Time to get some Saturday night action in.
Guys, we had a debate on the show yesterday about the Heisman odds and how things would look come today as we get set to crown the newest Heisman. So, RJ, what is the latest from Vegas on your bet with Steve Fezzik?
Yeah, listen, Jonas, wise guys don't debate, we bet. And we're going to explain who won that one. First, though, let's set the stage with this Heisman roller coaster. Less than a month ago, Tua was a huge favorite, minus -1,000. What does it mean? You had to bet $1,000 to win $100, $10 to win a dollar, or as I like to think about it, $50 to win a footlong sub. Okay, huge favorite. Then earlier this week, after the conference championship games, obviously not Tua's best game, Murray played well again. It was a flip of the favorites. I mean, wowza, went from minus -1,000 with Tua to Tua being the underdog, and Murray becoming the favorite. We were befuddled. Conspiracy theories from Joan. We were debating, what could it be? Inside information? Well, then, yesterday, Thursday, the Associated Press came out with their player of the year. Lo and behold, Murray wins it. And remember, the AP player of the year, very predictive about who wins the Heisman. And then Murray went from being about minus -160 up to minus, all the way up to minus -270. And that's where the disagreement began. Fezzik, yeah, two super contests. They only got to do it. He had big, big, big ego.
In all the five boroughs, I'm known. I'm known all over the f***ing world.
But that didn't scare me. We had a bet. What will the closing line be midnight Friday? Fez said, minus -300, no problem. It's going to run with Murray. I said, no. We bet. And then what happened today? Two more awards we can report on from last night. Brad, give us the update.
So Tua Tagovailoa won the Maxwell Award. That's not as predictive, but in a sweep, which is much more predictive, Tua also won the Walter Camp Award last night. So you got two predictive measures. You got Murray on one side winning the AP Player of the Year, and you got Tua sweeping the Maxwell and the Walter Camp.
And what we do at pregame.com on Straight Out of Vegas, we dig into the data. And when they agree, when the AP and the Walter Camp agree, player has won every time in the last 15 years. Six times they've disagreed. AP with one player, Walter Camp with the other. AP 5-1. So really, based upon that, Brad, history tells us, and again, it's not a ton of history. History tells us the AP winner, Murray, is in the driver's seat. What are the updated odds?
Updated current odds have Kyler Murray still a favorite, but now minus -220, slightly down from when you guys made that bet between you and Fez.
So Fez said, that's a great way to recap it. You can explain it, Brad. I'll ask the question. Fez said what was going to happen to the line.
Oh, it's going to run. So meaning it was minus -300 or above.
Oh, Murray. It was like Murray money.
Yeah.
Murray, Steve.
Minus -500, yeah.
Remember in Wall Street when they said quarters and halves aren't going to matter. This one's going to the moon. Fez, you know that movie.
Going to Pluto.
Exactly. That's what you said, right?
I did.
And what happened, Brad?
Odds dropped. It went down. So instead of minus 270 for Murray, you can actually get a better price if you think Murray's going to win. Minus 220.
I am driving around town today, and on the radio I hear, big day for Tua, taking home hardware in multiple contests. I don't even check the odds. I know I'm a dead man on this bet.
Just walked in. I always like the crowd across the country, the listeners, to be able to hear it. This is the money he paid. That's, we only do hundreds here, and another RJ winner.
I hate losing, RJ. I'm not going to lie. Hate losing.
You think you'd get used to it.
Yeah.
When you butt heads with me, baby.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Guys, let's get right to it. And we start in Kansas City, where the Chiefs are a 6.5-point favorite hosting the Ravens.
It's been over one calendar year since Kansas City lost at home. Think about that. By the way, a lot more on this pick in about 15 minutes. It's the world premiere of Colin Cowherd's pick number 6.
An AFC South battle sees the Texans a 4.5-point favorite hosting the Colts.
One of our basic premises is you have to be contrary to bet the NFL. What does that mean? Everyone's going one way. You don't want to go that way. Why? Because where everyone goes is expensive. And in a marketplace, when you're betting, if you're buying something expensive, means you're not getting value. Texans, 9 straight wins. If you take teams since 1997 with 9 or more straight-up wins in the same season, the next game, 36% against the spread. So a drunk baby flipping coins hits 50%. But these super winning teams only hit 36. It shows you it's all about buying cheap teams. Texans expensive this week.
It's the Browns and the Panthers, a pick 'em in Cleveland.
I tell you, Fez, this is one I think there's a big question. I'm going to ask you the question. On one hand, you could say Panthers' stats are so much better than their record. You look at their stats, excellent, superior. Winning in the last 4 games, but they've lost every one of them. Now, what we would typically say is like a blackjack table, oh, look, that guy from Grand Rapids, Michigan just won 4 straight, shut down the casino. No, the math is on your side, just stay the course, right? But these are human beings. What I saw Carolina do this week was panic. They fired 2 defensive coaches. Now Riverboat Ron is going to be calling defensive plays. If that was best, why didn't he call defensive plays last week? I think on one hand, if Carolina stayed the course, I'd want them this week. On the other hand, it looks like they've panicked. What do you think?
Well, early in the week, I was liking Carolina, but now I'm in your camp. I am very worried, and I'm not sure Cam is close to 100%.
So you think not only with the panic, Cam's shoulder's a little banged up.
Yes.
All right.
Minus Mike McCarthy, the Packers are a 4.5-point favorite hosting the Falcons.
You know, I think Colin has been on this story wonderfully. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be as focused as any game this season, any game since big playoff games. Why? Imagine the 2 scenarios. On one hand, they win. Everyone's going to go, yep, Aaron Rodgers is great. McCarthy was the problem. They lose here. Imagine what that next week's going to be like. Personally, I think Aaron Rodgers has underperformed this year. Thus, the Packers are being graded based on that underperformance, being priced. So I actually have a pretty strong lean to the Packers, believing that Rodgers is going to exceed the baseline he set for this season.
And a big weather edge for the Packers here. 28 degrees, and a team from the South that's used to playing in a dome heads to Lambeau.
Speaking of the South, we go to the NFC South, where the Buccaneers are hosting the Saints. New Orleans, a 9.5-point favorite.
You know, Tampa Bay has gotten a lot of love from the Vegas wise guys, the syndicates, the biggest bettors, the ones betting hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's kind of befuddled me. So when I see the market saying one thing and my eyes telling me something else, I dig in. And what I've uncovered is, it's obvious Tampa's been really bad in turnovers, and it's a basic premise of Vegas that those tend to even out. But I didn't realize how bad Tampa's been in turnovers. Eight times this season, minus two or worse turnover margin in a given game. And in every game, they weren't that bad. So in every game, they were better than terrible in turnovers. Four times, Tampa Bay, 4-0 straight up. I think this Tampa team, at least from the public's perspective, underrated.
I agree, and I also like the under in this game. This is the biggest weather game.
Under the total.
Under the total of 56. We've got 15 to 20 mile-an-hour winds, RJ. 90% chance of rain on a grass field.
Bills hosting the Jets. Buffalo a 3.5-point favorite.
I am in disagreement with the sharps here. What we've seen from the market, Fez, and I'm going to ask you the question, is McCown versus Darnold. Personally, I was a McCown guy. Now, his first game, he was pretty bad. But it's an older guy, didn't get a lot of snaps. As these games have progressed, I felt like right now, at worst, even against the rookie. But the marketplace has been saying the rookie is preferred. If you had a Jets ticket, who would you rather be quarterback?
I'd be pretty indifferent if Darnold was 100%, but I'm not sure that he's close to 100%.
So you're saying you want to go with McCown also?
Yes.
But the market thinks otherwise.
They do.
Gives us an opportunity.
Patriots at the Dolphins, New England, -8.
Everyone's heard the stat, but let's quantify it, or at least the concept. We remember Miami upset New England on Monday Night Football in Miami last year, but last five times the Patriots went to Miami, Dolphins are 4-1 straight up, 4-1 against the spread, dominating Brady and Belichick in Miami.
Giants at the Redskins, New York, a 3.5-point favorite.
We talked about this early in the week, but it bears repeating. Right now, today, the worst team in the NFL, in the eyes of Vegas, the Washington Redskins. Washington would be an underdog against Arizona on a neutral, an underdog against the Raiders. Now, I'm not going to get into Alabama versus Washington, but worst team. Why? Yeah, Alex Smith to McCoy, about a 3-point downgrade. McCoy to Sanchez, Fez, you initially thought three. Another three, you're thinking more now.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards four. I have no confidence in Sanchez.
I mean, 2 years out of the league, totally unfamiliar with this offense, couple weeks in. And oh, by the way, the idea that the Giants are favored by 3.5 on the road, you know the Redskins are bad. Also, O-line for the Redskins, been really beat up, even more beat up after Monday night.
The Broncos, winners of three in a row, are a 3.5-point favorite at the 49ers.
This feels like one of those sell-high situations. The Broncos won three straight. Obviously, signature wins against the Steelers, against the Chargers. I mean, hard to beat two better teams than that over the course of 3 weeks. But then we look at turnovers. In those three games, Broncos +8 in turnovers. +8. I mean, it's hard for an NFL team to lose when they're +8 in turnovers. Now, everyone's excited. Unfortunately, though, Sanders, wide receiver, out. Even more valuable than you might think because of how thin the Broncos are at receiver even before the Sanders injury. Also, not talked about as much, Chris Harris, cornerback, he's out, and that's a big deal, though not discussed. I think this is the time to look to fade the Broncos.
The Chargers, a 14-point favorite hosting the Cincinnati Bengals.
Great trend here. When you have a team who's favored by 13 points or more this week, and next week they're going to be underdogs, and Chargers go to Kansas City, certainly they will be underdogs next week, next Thursday. That big, big favorite this week, looking ahead to being a dog, 32% against the spread. 20 winners, 42 losers. I hate the Bengals as a team right now. But this is the look-ahead spot of look-ahead spots for the Chargers.
The Lions in the desert are a 2.5-point favorite over the Cardinals.
You know, I'm just going to make the case. I got nothing on this game. Fez, I'm going to open it up to you.
Arizona's number one wide receiver, Kirk, is out. This is a big deal. He averages almost 14 yards per catch. Without him, they have no playmakers, no one to go downfield for Rosen.
I mean, back in the Vietnam days, there was the conscientious objectors. I was, in a way, I was like having a sit-in objecting to the Lions and the Cardinals. Brad, you got something.
I do, and I certainly don't want to be laying points on the road with Detroit. Since the merger back to 1970, Detroit traveling west, Mountain or Pacific time zones, 13-46 straight up, worst mark in the NFL.
Wow.
The NFC East game of the year, the Cowboys, a 3.5-point favorite hosting the Eagles.
Hey, even with Brad's stat, I'm not watching that Lions-Cardinals, by the way. I want to pose a thought experiment, and we can pick this up next week. If the Eagles, who were in the division round last year against Atlanta, and Atlanta had the ball first and goal on the 9 with under 2 minutes left, at that point, Fez, in-game betting said the odds of Atlanta winning were about 60%, correct?
Yeah, yes.
If Atlanta had won that game, as they were favored to do very late against the Eagles, and then the Eagles were 6-6, exactly what they are this year, how much differently would we be thinking about this Eagles team?
Oh, I think 2 points worth is the tax that the Super Bowl champs have carried all year long. That's why the Eagles are 4-8 against the spread.
But Fezzik, how can the nation have a thought experiment over the weekend if you gave him the answer?
Oops.
I mean, you can see why he didn't have any friends in high school. Me, teacher, it's me, Fez. I'm going to Northwestern. When did you know you were going to Northwestern? Like, how old? Like, was it your senior year, or did you get, like, early admissions?
Right after I didn't get into Harvard.
Pretty good. Point being, hey, the Eagles got the ring. Give them credit. But they very easily could have lost that game against the Falcons, and it wouldn't have really changed fundamentally who that team is. The narrative, though, changed greatly to the favor of overvaluing the Eagles.
And the Steelers are a 10-point favorite at the Raiders.
And as a Steelers fan, I have a little extra insight. And boy, I saw it with my eyes. Now here's the stat. Steelers in the Tomlin era as a big road favorite, defined as 6 points or more, 7-18 against the spread. Even though it feels like one of those must-win games, I'm not sure Pittsburgh's going to respond like it's a must-win game.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.